Let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. I'm going to begin reading with verse 10 of Jeremiah 29. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then, that's my subject tonight, T-H-E-N, then. Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And you shall seek me, and find me, when you shall search for me with all your heart. And I will be found of you, saith the Lord. And I will turn away your captivity, and I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you, saith the Lord. And I will bring you again into the place whence I caused you to be carried away captive. Now this was part of the direction that God gave by his servant to the captives in Babylon. They were to remain in Babylon. God said, I will deliver you. I know my thoughts toward you. Thoughts of peace and not evil. Good, not bad. I will deliver you. You're going to be there 70 years. 70 years. You'll marry, have children, get along with your captors, but you're going to be there 70 years. At the end of that 70 years, I will deliver you. At the end of that 70 years, I'll deliver you. The time of God's salvation is set. That's what you preach. But he said then, in that time, you're going to seek me. You're going to pray. You're going to call on me. And I'll be found with you. You'll seek me, and you'll find me when you search for me with all your heart. Somebody said this, the time of God's salvation is surely come when a man begins with all his heart to seek the Lord.
Amen.
Now, I know some things are true. Number one, I know this, that spiritual blessings always begin with God. Good thoughts are not from here to him, but from him to us. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. I know my thoughts toward him too, by nature. I know your thoughts toward him by nature. The natural mind is enmity against God. The natural mind receiveth not the things of God. Spiritual blessings always begin with God. Don't ever forget that. God purposes all good, all blessings, all righteousness, all salvation starts with him. Herein is love. Not that we love him, but he loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Look at verse 11 again. He said, I know my thoughts that I think toward you. He also knew the thoughts that we thought toward him. The scripture says this over and over again. We were dead in trespasses and sin. We were following the prince of the power of the air. We were fulfilling the lust of our minds and our hearts and our flesh. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, had quickened us together with Christ. It talks about how wicked we are, without strength, without hope, without God. But God commended his love for us. So let that be established, first of all. There's no doubts about that in here, are there? Any doubts at all? All spiritual blessings begin with God. God chose us. We didn't choose him. God set his love upon us. We didn't set our love upon him. Now that's so. If we were left to ourselves, we would remain satisfied in darkness, satisfied in death, satisfied in the pit. Now that's right, if it were left to us. But God Almighty thought thoughts of peace for us. All right, here's the second thing that I know. These spiritual blessings begin with God. Secondly, these spiritual blessings come to us freely, without charge, without price, not depending upon anything. God doesn't say, if you will do this, I will do that. We don't drive a due bargain with God. A man who prays that way is a fool. A man who says, God, if you'll bless me, I'll tithe. If you'll bless me, I'll go to church. If you'll bless me, I'll do this. If you'll heal my baby, I promise. Don't you ever pray that way. That's an abomination, Don, in the sight of God. For us to drive any kind of bargain with God Almighty. Everything God does for me is free. Absolutely free. When they had nothing to pay, He frankly forgave them. Look at verse 10. He says, after 70 years are accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. I'll do that. I will perform my good toward you. I will cause you to return unto this place. David said this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside still water. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. I deserve nothing but God's judgment and wrath. Several years ago at a Bible conference, Brother John Thorne there made a statement that stuck with me all these years. He said, grace is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. See what he's saying? Grace is God giving me, we say unmerited favor, undeserved favor. That's right. Grace is God giving me what I do not deserve, what I do not earn or merit in any shape, form, or fashion. There's nothing I can add to God. He said, if I were hungry, John, I wouldn't ask you, he says. I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. If we can just learn, we can't make any contribution to God. Every contribution that's made is from God to us. We don't add anything to God's glory. God accepts us in His Son, not on the basis of what we've done, what we've given. Give God your time. Give God your talents. Give God your tithes. What does God want with those things? He gave them to you. It's free. Of Him are you in Christ Jesus, who is of God, is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. Christ is made unto us all those things. This is the reason I reject. And I don't want to hurt your feelings. But if necessary, we will. If it's necessary, then I reject absolutely, unconditionally, and totally all thoughts of God Almighty rewarding men in heaven for the things they do down here on this earth. I reject it with everything that's in me. I hear people talk about, oh, if you serve God here and win souls, you're going to get a reward in heaven. That's utterly ridiculous. God reward me for what He gave me? Everything that I do here by His grace, that's God rewarding me for something He did, don't I? If I stand here and preach tonight, it's because God gave me the ability, He gave me the gift, He gave me the talent, He gave me the power, He gave me the open door, He gave me the bread. He gave me the strength. I have nothing of which to boast. I have nothing to expect. Whatever you do in the kingdom of God, you do because God enabled you to do it. No, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. Let me tell you this. When I stand in His presence and am perfectly conformed to the image of His Son, that's my reward.
Amen.
What could I get more than that? Well, I don't want a yo-yo to play with in heaven. I don't want some silly-looking crown to balance on my head, you know, to gloat over and brag because I got one you didn't, Donnie. I got a bigger mansion than you, you know. That's the most ungodly thoughts that I can think. That pride, and God hates it. The thief on the cross will be as much like Christ, as much in the love of Christ. as much in the favor of Christ, as much in the image of Christ, and as much in the kingdom of Christ as any man in this place like this. We're saved purely, freely, wholly, totally, completely by the grace of God. Now that's so. And you can go out here and try to motivate people to give or serve or witness by promising them a bigger mansion in the sky than George Brown, but you're lying on God. And that man is working for the kingdom of God by the wrong motive. Not for the glory of Christ, but to get God to tap his hand with something better than somebody else. It's ridiculous. It was invented by fundamentalists to try to keep people straight. It was invented just like purgatory. Donis is right. Purgatory was invented by Catholics to fill the coffers of the church, and rewards in heaven were invented by fundamentalists to fill the same offering place in just as crooked a way.
Yeah.
That's so.
Sure.
It's freely given of God. Freely. We were justified freely by his grace.
Amen.
That's so. And here's the third thing I know. I know all spiritual blessings come from God. He said, I know my thoughts toward you. You never had a thought toward God till he moved on your heart. You never had a desire for God, a love for God, or a concern for your soul till he opened your blind eye, till he unstopped your deaf ears, and till he stopped you on your Damascus road to hell and said, whoa, that's far enough, that's far as you're going, stop right where you are. And then for the first time in your ungodly life, you looked up.
That's right.
He did. He did it all. And he did it freely. It wasn't anything in you to motivate him except his own love. There wasn't anything in you that caused him to look with favor upon you except his own sovereign will. That's so. There wasn't anything in you any different from any other snake in the grass. It was God's mercy in Christ that he bestowed on you freely by his grace. Now, I know that wounds and hurts the proud sinner, but it's so. And here's the third thing. All spiritual blessings come to us in Christ. That's where they are. God's put everything, as Barnard used to say, Wiley, he's put all his eggs in one basket, in his name, Jesus Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness, all the righteousness, all the holiness, all the sanctification, all the redemption, all the glory, all the preeminence. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead body. God put it in him. He's the fountain of life. He's the fountain of grace. He's the fountain of truth. I ask this question. Why do so many serious, I believe some of them are serious. You were serious that time. I believe I was. I believe some of the rest of you were. Why do so many serious and sincere people? I know there are a lot of hypocrites in religion. There are a lot of phonies. There are a lot of con men. There are a lot of fellows that are crooks and they know it. But there are a lot of folks that are crooks and don't know it. That's right. They're crooks and they don't know it. You know it and I know it because we know the truth, but they don't know it. They're blind leaders of the blind. Saul of Tarsus said it. I did it in ignorance. I did it in ignorance. He was an ignorant. Saul of Tarsus was not a hypocrite. He was mean as a snake and he hated Jesus Christ, but he hated him out of a sincere heart. He didn't know it. Why do so many serious, sincere people seek and never find God? Why? Do you know why? I'll tell you why. Because they seek him in the wrong place. God's in Christ. Now, that's just something. God's in Christ. Turn to 1 John 5 just a moment, and let me show you something. That's why. That's why so many serious, sincere people seek God and never find him. You say, I'm sincere. I know you are. I'm serious about this, man. I know you are, but you're not going to find God in the water. You're not going to find God in the law. You're not going to find God's mercy in the sacraments. You're not going to find God's mercy in a denomination. God's mercy is in Christ. And you'll never find him. You'll never have any knowledge of God or relationship with God apart from a union with Christ by faith. Like it or not, it's so. 1 John 5:11 says, as clear as words can make it, this is the record. It's undeniable. It is an acceptable fact. It is the truth that God has given us eternal life. That ain't talking about the length of it. It's talking about the quality of it.
Yeah.
It's divine life. It's the life Adam lost in the garden. It's the life without which you were born. You don't have that life by nature. It's divine life. It's the life of God. It's spiritual life. God's given us spiritual life, divine life, and this life is in the altar. I tell you, every believer has an altar, but it's right here.
Yeah.
In the mourner's bench, every believer has a mourner's bench. He mourns apart, right here. Where's this life? Is it in the law? It's in His Son. That's where it is. That's where this life, this divine, and ain't no use you looking anywhere else. Because you're not going to find it unless you look in the right place. God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. I don't care what he has. He might have the morality of a Pharisee. He might have the dedication of a Sadducee. He might have the religion of a martyr. He might have the theology of a Puritan. He might have the zeal of a fundamentalist. But if he does not have Christ, he does not have life. Now, brethren, you say I'm narrow and radical and fanatical, but our Lord said that. No man cometh to the Father but by me. No man. I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. And go in and out and find pasture. He said, if you believe not that I am he, you're dying your sins. Why, as plain as the words can make it. If you believe not that I am, you'll die in your sins. The apostle said, other foundation can no man lay than that which is Christ. The apostle said, there's none other name under heaven where given among men whereby we must be saved. I shut men up to one door, and that's Christ. I shut men up to one foundation, that's Christ. I shut men up to one refuge, and that's Christ. I shut men up to one Redeemer, and that's Christ. He's the ransom, no, that you're talking. He's the deliverer, the interpreter, he's the messenger, he's the mediator, he's all things. Christ. He's our wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. He's everything that God requires, everything that God demands, everything that God expects, everything that God Almighty requires, and everything I need is in Christ.
Yeah.
I'm totally, utterly passive in this matter of the redemption of my soul or my acceptance with God Almighty. That's so. Here's the fourth thing I know. Those who receive this mercy that God purposed, He said, I know my thoughts toward you. I know my thoughts toward you. Thoughts of peace. Starts with Him. He shall not fail. What He purposed, He will perform. He said, I declare the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I'll do my pleasure. He worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. Our Lord said, all that my Father giveth me will come to me. I know my thoughts toward you. That's so. I will bless you. I will deliver you. Deliverance will be free. It will be in Christ. It will be when I please, when the fullness of time is gone. But, He says, you'll seek me. I know this just well as I know those other three things. I know that everybody, listen to me, you will seek me. You will call on me. You will cry for my mercy. You will pray unto me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. The disciples were told by the Master to go out and preach this gospel, this good news, this glad tidings to every creature. And our Lord added, and he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And he that believeth not shall be damned. That's so. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. The Scripture says plainly, Romans 10:13, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. But how shall they call on Him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in Him of whom they've not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now the man who says, I will sit still
and fold my arms.
If he will come, he will come. If he will bless, he will bless. If he will love, he will love. If he will save, he will save.
I'm sorry, my friend. You'll perish.
That's so. You'll perish. You'll die in your sins. The blessings of God will pass you by. Others will be saved and you'll be damned.
That's right.
Sitting right there believing in God's eternal purpose. That's right. Now you look at that text over and over again. You go home tonight, you look at it. God says, Israel, I'm going to deliver you. I know my thoughts toward you, thoughts of peace and not evil, thoughts of good. I will bring you to an expected end. At my appointed time, you'll be delivered. When 70 years are accomplished, you'll be delivered. But then, you'll call on me. You'll cry unto me. You'll pray unto me. And you'll seek me and find me when you search for me with all your eyes. What I'm saying is this. Yes, he will come to you. But you'll come to him.
Yeah.
Now that's so. All that my Father giveth me will come. And him that cometh. Huh? That's what it says. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the smart elects, and you've revealed it to babies. Even so it seemed good in your sight. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden. I'll give you rest. But you better come. If you don't come, you won't get rest. That's so. Yes, he will teach you, but you'll learn. Turn to John 6:44. I want you to listen to this now. John 6:44. He is the teacher. He will teach. He will instruct. But you'll learn. You'll learn. He said in John 6:44, no man can come to me. I know that as well as anybody is. Inability, unwillingness, deafness. Unconcerned, indifference. No man will come to me except my Father which sent me. Draw him. I'll raise him up at the last day. It's written in the prophet, they shall all be taught of God, and every man that hath heard and hath learned of the Father, he'll come. A lot of teeth. We'll learn. Yes, God will love, but you'll love him. Yes, you will. Paul said, if any man loves not Christ, let him be accursed.
Yeah.
Let him be anathema, maranatha. Let him be under the curse of God, the Lord's country. If he doesn't love Christ, it's impossible, my friend, for you to enter heaven without a love for Christ.
Amen.
And that's not a coerced love. That's not a forced love. That's a willing love. Like that old bond slave in the book of Deuteronomy. That old bond slave, when he worked for 7 years and it came time for him to be free, that he was a slave then, and he worked for 7 years, it came time on the seventh year for him to be set free. And he came and said, I don't want to be free. I love my master, I love my wife and children, I love my master's service, I want to stay in his service. Well, he was to go down to the door of the temple or the door of his master's house or some door and have his ear bored through with it all. And from that day on, he was called a bond servant. That is a willing, loving slave. I'm in the service of my master because that's where I want to be. I'm not kept against my will. God will save a man against his will, Tim, with his full consent.
That's
it. Oh yeah, he'll love, but you'll love him. He'll seek you, but you'll seek him. He knows you. But you, before you'll ever be redeemed, will know him.
Amen.
What does the scripture say? Our Lord praying in John 17 says, this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God. Not just that he might know us. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I am persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. No man will find God who does not seek God. No, sir, no man saved because he prays, but nobody's ever been saved who didn't. Does that make sense, Dan? That's so. No man's ever, we're saved because Christ died. But don't you ever tell me that a man is a saved man who doesn't talk to God. I don't believe a word. Old John Bunyan said, what did he say, Don? He says, what breath is to a human, natural man, prayer is to a believer.
Yeah.
No man's ever been saved by calling on God. We're saved because Christ in our place called on God. But no man's ever been saved who didn't call on God.
Amen.
That's so. I don't have to explain that. It says that. Mr. Spurgeon said somebody came to him and said, "You're not consistent with yourself." He said, "God deliver me from ever trying to be consistent with myself." Why, he said, if I was consistent with myself at the end, I'd find out I've been consistent with a fool. I'm trying to be consistent with the Word of God. And the Word of God says, "Whosoever shall call shall be saved." That's right. No man will ever seek God until he feels his need of God. And no man will ever feel his need of God until he sees his guilt before the righteousness of God. That's where we start. I believe most preaching starting at the caboose. We start with man's sin. You know where we need to start preaching? With whatever thing starts with God. If you want to convince a man of sin, you tell him who God is, not who he is. If he's got any sense, he'll see who he is. When he compares it, that's when Isaiah found out what his sinner he was when he saw the Lord. He knew the theology, but he hadn't seen God. That's when Job found out what a wretch he was when he saw the Lord. And that's when you and I will be convinced of our sins, of omission, commission, secret sins of nature, the principle of sin, the nature of sin, the root of sin, if we ever get a glimpse of the holiness of God. You find out you don't love anybody when you see how God loves you.
Amen.
That's right. You'll be ashamed of your love.
Yeah.
And you'll be ashamed of your gift if you ever see his gift. That's right. You won't even put them side by side. He gave himself. We give our nickels and dimes. Why, every one of us will be ashamed of our praise if we ever see his praise. Well, he praises his Father. Whew. That's when a man sees his sin, when he sees God. So this is what I'm saying. Turn to Psalm 107. This is what I'm saying. Yes, I cried just as strong as any Puritan or any Calvinist or any Reformer or any Baptist that's ever preached it. God Almighty in his eternal sovereignty has purposed to save for his glory through his Son a people. He shall not fail. He has in Christ elected a people, made Christ their surety, and made Christ their representative. And Don Lewis, me preaching it again, Don's covered it perfectly and powerfully tonight. All that he did for his elect. He redeemed us. He didn't try to, he did it. He didn't come to try to seek and to save the lost, he came to seek and to save. He didn't come to get God in the notion of saving, he came because God Almighty was in the notion of saving.
Yeah.
He fulfilled every commandment, every law, every jot and tittle of God's holiness. And the Holy Spirit comes and awakens and calls us, but those whom he hath given to Christ will feel their need, be grieved over their sins, seek his face, cry unto him, and lay hold upon him by faith, and never let him go.
Amen.
That's it. Psalm 107, listen to it. He says, "Give thanks unto the Lord. He's good, for his mercy forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed." Let's don't take any credit, any glory. Faith doesn't save, Christ does. "And gathered them out of their lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a lonely way. They found no city to dwell in. Hunger and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And then, they cried unto the Lord." They cried, and he delivered. See what I'm saying? That's what I'm saying. Look at verse 11. "Because they rebelled against the words of God, they contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore, he brought down their hearts with labor. They fell down. There was nobody to help. Then, they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses." Verse 17. "They were fools. They knew it because of their transgression, because of their iniquities. They are afflicted. Their soul that abhorreth all manner of meat, they draw nigh unto the gates of death. Then they cried unto the Lord in his trouble." You reckon he'd have saved if they hadn't cried? Don't believe it. You say, what are you? I really don't know. The hard shells called Spurgeon an Arminian. The Arminians called him a hard shell. The holiness called him an antinomian. The antinomians called him a holy roller. You can't put God's true people in any mold.
Yeah, that's the truth.
That's exactly right. Not human mold, I'm saying. Not, you can't do it. You systematize your theology and you'll mess it up.
Amen.
God Almighty goes out here in the wilderness and plants the flower. He doesn't put all the dogwood trees in one little square. That's what we do. We get all the attributes and put them right here. We get all the depravity and put it right here. And we get all the atonement and put it right here. Get all these systematic theologies, you know, get them all in one place so we can understand them. God puts a dogwood tree there and a tulip here and a fir tree and a pine and an oak and an elm and a maple, and God puts another dogwood over here. And where you go, you see the beauty of His grace. All of it blended together by His grace. Oh, verse 27, they reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. They are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord. Have you ever been there? Everybody that's ever been there knows what it is to cry, and those who know what it is to cry know what it is to hear Him say, peace.
Amen.
Everyone.
Amen.
That's just so. And look, verse 43 says, let me last verse, whoso's wise and will observe these things, those are the ones that are going to understand the loving kindness of God. And everybody else is going to be confused. It's a sure sign that a man is not elected who does not seek God. And I want to repeat that. I believe it. I got it written down here. I thought it over before I wrote it down. If I didn't write it, didn't believe it, I wouldn't write it down. Don, I believe this is so. It's a sure sign. I don't mean it's a good sign. I don't mean that it's a possible sign. I mean it's a dead sure sign that a man's not one of God's elect if he never seeks the Lord. That's it. Now, it's a good sign. I'm not saying it's a sure sign. I'm saying it's a good sign that a man is elected who does seek God. That's a good sign. You find me an old boy that's seeking the Lord. You find me an old boy that's walking in the light God gives him. You find me an old boy that's crying out to God like the thirsty deer cries for the water brooks, the true and living God. And I'll show you a man there's a good possibility he's one of God's elect.
Amen.
Because the Lord says, I'm going to deliver you, but you're going to cry. You're going to pray. You're going to call. You're going to see. Now, let me show you this for a quick. Right back to our text, Jeremiah chapter 29. He says, youth. Let's take all these four words. Quick, youth. Now listen, I hear people make a big mistake. A fellow says, well, the wife and I are going to get this thing done together. You and the wife ain't going to get this thing done together. Isn't that right, Don? No, you're not. It just might be the wife will never come to know God. It may be you'll never come to God. Remember Lot's wife? She's married to a righteous man. She's married to a man whom God saved. She's married to a man whom God delivered, but she perished in the wilderness. Remember David's wife, Micah? Is that her name, Micah? He was out there dancing before the ark, showing how much he praised God, showing what a little creature he was in the eyes of God. She's up there despising him. She didn't know God. I'm saying this. This thing of a relationship with God's a personal matter. Now, I'm not saying you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I'm saying this, that you personally, individually, this matter will be settled in your heart. With your will, you'll call on Him. With your heart, you'll seek Him. With your mouth, you'll confess Him. And we ain't going to do it in a chorus. We may join together in a chorus, but every man's going to form his own opinion of Christ by God's grace. Every man's going to call on the name of the Lord himself individually. And God's going to deal with it in that way. Don, this is so, isn't it? It's absolutely true. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth Jesus to thee, Lord, and believe in thine heart God has raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You're going to save me. And I plead with you. I'm telling you, get away from these soul winners. Get away from these sharing input sessions. Get away from these analyzing sessions. Get away from these folks that are all trying to rush the kingdom of God together and by their weight and might make God do anything. You, as a helpless, hopeless, hell-deserving, ill-deserving sinner, go to the face of God like the publican in the temple and say, God be merciful to me. I'm the sinner. I'm the one that spit in your face in the Garden of Eden. I'm the one that nailed your son to the cross. I'm the one that said, I will not have this man old reign over. Isolate yourself. Isolate your sins. Isolate your rebellion. There's enough sin in you to make another devil if God Almighty pleased to do it.
Right.
You deal with him. My David said, oh God, my sins are ever before me. That's what you were saying a while ago. Against thee and thee only have we sinned. No, we ain't sinning. I sin. And you're not getting it. Anybody will admit to general condemnation. Anybody will admit to general sin. Anybody, this is a bad old world. Yeah, you're a bad old person in it. That's the reason it's a bad old world. Yeah, that's the truth. It's me. I like that old black spiritual, ain't the preacher nor the deacon, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. It's me. And that's where we're going to come. And he said, you shall seek me. You not, it's not might or ought to, you shall seek me. You will if you ever come.
Amen.
You will if you ever taste his mercy.
Amen.
You will if you ever taste his grace. You'll do it. Bless your heart. You'll isolate yourself. You'll fall on your face like Saul of Tarsus on the Damascus road and cry, Lord, what will you have me do? Like old blind Bartimaeus sitting there by the roadside, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. You shall. What if he hadn't called, huh? He had never been here. Now you can take this thing of I'm a sovereign gracer from the top of my head to the sole of my feet. I believe it, preach it, confirmed in it and everything else. I know God is God and man is man and Christ is the difference. He makes the difference with God. But I'm telling you, if blind Bartimaeus had sat there, Christ would have passed right on by. That's so. But he wasn't going to let him pass by. Jesus! They said, shut up. I'll shut up when I get in touch with him. Jesus!
Amen.
And the Lord stood still. Don't you let anybody quiet you down. Don't you let anybody stop your cry. Don't you let... He said, you shall.
Yeah.
And what does he say? You shall seek. Where does a man seek God? Well, I give you several things in the Word. He's revealed right here in this book. I'm not talking about your Sunday school quarter. I'm talking about this book right here. I ain't talking about some good notable writer from past days who wrote a good book on how to. I hate books on how to. How to be baptized with the Holy Ghost. How to be happy though married. How to find peace in South. How to nothing. They don't know how to. It's who to, isn't it?
Amen.
It's Christ. It's who. It's not a how, it's who. Brother Ed Lawson and I agreed this afternoon, we hate above all things the word share. We go share. Share. That's the most abominable word in the church, share. The next word is how. How to. I tell you, you'll find him right here.
Yes.
His word. He hath begotten us again unto a living hope. Not with corruptible seed, but with incorruptible seed, the word of God. That's right. Of his own will begat he us with the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That's it. The living word, the incarnate word, the written word. All is one. Where do you seek him? You seek him in the preached word. And you make fun of preaching, and most preaching ought to be made fun of. You know what old Brother A.D. Mew said? He said, I'm not surprised that the church has endured so much persecution and still survived. I'm surprised that the church has endured so much bad preaching and still survived. That's what's amazing. It's some of the rottenest preaching that's ever been put out. It's going on right now. I mean nothing. You're talking about nothing. It's the preaching of foolishness and not the foolishness of preaching. That's what we're hearing now. We need to hear the foolishness of preaching. God had chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. What I'm doing tonight, what Don's doing tonight, what Jim did last night, is what God Almighty uses to save them. And we relegate it to the scrap heap. We got our choirs and our ball teams and our suppers and our socials. And we've got our all these potluck dinners, and we've got happy birthday, drop your pennies in the pot. We've got all these different things to entertain sinners. We've got, like Ed told me today, half a dozen microphones and a bunch of people singing into them, you know, so loud you can't hear. This city's music, and we relegated preaching to the scrap heap, and that's the reason we're in the shape we're in today.
Yeah.
When we put preaching back where it's supposed to be, in the forefront, the preaching of God's Word, somebody might get brought to Christ. Seek Him in preaching. Seek Him among His people. I mean among His people. You find out where God's people are meeting and skedaddle down there and meet with them. He might reveal Himself to you. But now you're not going to find Him among the pagans. You're not going to find Him among the heathen. You're not going to find Him among organized religion. You're not going to find Him among that bunch of liberals that you're hanging out with. I'd get among His people, and I'd just rub right up against them. You'll see somebody rub off on me. But I would. I'd get just close to that fellow as I could, and I'd hear what he's saying, and hear what, and do what he's doing, and use the fork he uses and the spoon. Did you ever sit out at dinner table and have all those lines of utensils, potentials, HB called them, and all those different glasses, and you thought, I'm going to make a fool out of myself? Well, pick out somebody that looks like he knows and just do what he does. But don't dip your finger. Don't drink that finger bowl. The little bowl there with water, you know, you're supposed to dip your fingers in. Don't drink it, doggy, you know. But get identified with God's people. Find out where they are. If you have to drive 100 miles. No matter how far you have. You know, Brother Johnny Hilliard once said, God's true sheep will go a long ways for a patch of clover.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I'm not going to eat briars with the jack donkeys. I'm going to get over there in that patch of clover with God's sheep. That's right, if you want to seek the Lord. And I'll tell you this, what I said a while ago, seek Him in Christ. Now watch this. This is the most important thing I'm going to say tonight. The text says, and you shall seek me. Me. Now here's where so many people make a mistake. Don't seek the blessing. Danger, isn't it? Don, you know this. Don't seek the blessing. Don't seek peace. You might find it. There's peace without Christ. Did you know? There's a peace of presumption. There's a peace of experience. There's a peace of another spirit. Oh, yes, there is. You come seeking the peace. You come to the altar, the mourner's bench, and seeking peace, and you just might go away with peace. And it might just been given you by the old devil himself.
Yeah.
Now, this is so. I don't know a whole lot about this, but just know it's so. Don, you know a little bit more about this than I do. Don't you tell those people that are speaking in the gibberish, and you ever watch those fellas reach out and touch a fellow on the head and he falls down? You've seen that on healing lines, you know, they touch him and they fall backward. Is that real, Donnie, or isn't it? Real, isn't it? It's real. They do that. There's a presence of a spirit. There's a presence of a power in those meetings. It's not the Holy Spirit, nor is it the power of God. But it's a spirit. You know, Satan is not hanging out in honky-tonks. He's hanging out in churches.
Yeah.
The scripture talks about the high, what is that in the, quote that for me, Don. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, against principalities, powers, rulers of the darkness, spiritual wickedness. What kind of wickedness? Spiritual wickedness. In high places. Now, brother, I'll tell you something. You seek the blessing. A lot of people go away jumping, clapping their hand, whoopee, I found it, I got peace. You can find the blessing without Christ. The type of blessing, that's right. But if you come to Christ, you'll get the real blessing. That's what I'm telling you the truth. Don't seek assurance. You can find it without Christ. You can find a peace and a position of presumption that'll even take you to the judgment and face God himself and say, hold the procedures. I preached in your name.
Yeah.
And prophesied in your name and did many wonderful works. That's assurance. That is assurance. Clear to the judgment. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, you seek me. Don't make the mistake of seeking even for forgiveness. Seek him. With him there's forgiveness. Seek him. With him there's a blessing. Amen. This, my friends, what I'm saying here, you may say, what in the world is he talking about? Do I know what I'm talking about right now, Donnie? I know what I'm talking about. And what I'm saying is, there's multitudes of people over this earth who have what they know to be a real thing. It's an experience, it's a feeling, it's a peace. It's a presumption, it's a refuge, it's a false hiding place. You try to get them out of it.
Yeah.
They'll put that brother, they'll put you down so quick to make your head swim.
That's right.
They'll make you think they got it and you ain't.
Yeah. Yeah.
I tell you this, you find the man, the religious man who doesn't know God has more assurance than the man who does know God.
That's right.
You never hear a fundamentalist say, "'Tis a point I long to know, nor forgive me anxious about. Do I love the Lord or know him? I hear there, am I?" You know who says that? John Newton.
Yeah,
man who died for Christ. But these sissified preachers of today, these fundamentalists, they say, "I'm assured for heaven if his eyes already there." They got it. They don't have him, but they have it.
Yeah.
They said they're on the bumper stick. I found it.
They found it.
It is a blessing. It is assurance. It is peace. It is experience. It is a spirit. But Christ ain't no it.
That's right.
Him. See him. Now listen. You may not have any peaceful life, but sink or swim, you go to him.
Amen.
You're alive. I'm not promising you health and wealth and prosperity and full pockets and a padded bank account and all your bills paid. You just might go bankrupt next month. But I'd rather be bankrupt with Christ than rich with Satan. That's right. Find him. Bankrupt or rich. Paul says, I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. And I've been both places. He said, I've been in prison, I've been in palaces, and it's the same with Christ.
Amen.
Ain't no difference. That's right. I found him.
Glory.
See, listen, I'm on something here that needs to be preached.
Yes,
sir. I preached this on television I'll be on this Sunday, and there was a former Church of God preacher there that healed and laid hands on people and felt electric shocks and all these things. He walked up to me. He said, you need to ride that some more.
I know what you're talking about.
I had the blessing without the Lord.
Yeah.
I had the feeling without the Christ. I had the assurance and the cockiness and confidence and never knew Jesus Christ. I've come to know him. And sometimes my way is over rocky roads. And sometimes my way is under heavy black clouds. And sometimes my way is through a deep woods. And sometimes my way is a way of tears and trial. But my way is always in him. I have peace. He's my peace. Turn to Psalm 130, and I'll quit. Psalm 130, verse 7. This is what I'm saying right here. Psalm 130, verse 7. And I want you to think on that this evening. I want you to think on it seriously now. Don't seek the blessing. Seek him. Don't seek an experience. You may get one. You may get one that will shock everybody you tell it to. You may get an experience a whole lot better than anybody else here. But I don't want it, thank you. You know what old Peter said over there in Peter? He said, I stand on that mountain. I saw him transfigured. I saw the glory of the Lord. I saw Moses and Elijah. I saw these things. But we have a more sure word upon us. Which you rather have, a vision of the Lord or the word of the Lord? I'd rather have this word. Because I could be on some kind of hallucinating drug and have a vision. But this word right here is written and sure. Psalm 130 verse 7, look at it. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there's mercy. Where's our hope? Not in the mercy, in the Lord. If you get the tree, you got the fruit. You see, if you get that old limb and hang on to it, it's going to wither right in your hand. But if you own the tree, you got the limb, leaf, and the fruit. You got everything the tree produces. Lay hold on him. Whatever he does with you, whatever he does for you, whatever he does to you, that's his prerogative. But sink or swim, I'm going to him. One old man used to say, if I go to hell, I'm going to go to hell looking to Christ. Clinging to Christ, hoping in Christ. And he said, I don't believe that's possible. I'll go to Jesus, though my sin hath like a mountain rose. I'll say to him, I'm a wretch undone without your sovereign grace. I can but perish if I go. I am resolved to try. For if I stay away, I know I shall forever die. That's it. You shall seek me and find me when you search for me, Lord. It ain't half a heart, it's all a heart. Thank you, Tim. God bless you.
Come every soul, thy sin of prayer.